You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy.
My name's actually Felix.
The weird, the whack, the wonderful.
Stranger Than Fact on 95BFM.
As somebody who has studied UFO claims and their believers, why do you think that people are so ready to accept these stories?
Well, here's the thing. When you talk about the internet, there's so much misinformation out there and so little critical thinking that many people go on to the internet not searching for information, but instead searching for confirmation and affirmation of their pre-existing beliefs. In psychology, that's known as confirmation bias, the tendency to seek out information that reinforces pre-existing beliefs, biases, and stereotypes. And so it's no surprise to me that the internet is a major incubator of rumors and conspiracies out there, because literally you get what you want. People see what they want to see. If I am a white supremacist, I can find some white supremacist sites out there, and it can look like they're all over the place, when in fact it's just a tiny portion of the internet.
I suppose on the other side of this equation, you know, what is it that compels people to create hoaxes around these sorts of things in the first place?
I think it's as simple as people want to believe. Often hoaxes are not so much hoaxes, they're these urban myths that develop and morph and change, a combination of rumors and myths. And people typically believe them, right? They get sucked in. But why UFOs? And it's the same. You can ask the same question for why, you know, Bigfoot or the Chupacabra or the Loch Ness Monster. And I think people want to believe. There's a power with UFOs, because if you take it to its logical conclusion, if there are space aliens and they visit us and they share their technology, they could raise us to the immortal realm of the gods in terms of making us immortal, right? What is it Arthur C. Clarke said? Any civilization advanced enough to traverse the great distances of space and visit Earth, their technology would be indistinguishable from magic. You know, they would be very powerful. Perhaps they could cure all diseases, and in a sense, it fills a similar function as religion. And that's the power there. And if you look at the power of the UFO symbol, or the power of the Bigfoot symbol, or the symbol of ghosts, you know, science essentially says ghosts don't exist. Science says that Bigfoot doesn't exist, and there's no evidence for aliens visiting Earth, even though they may be in the universe. But Farmer Joe down the road claims to have been abducted by an alien, and Mary Jones 2 miles on the other side claims to have seen Bigfoot. And in that sense, Bigfoot and alien abduction claims are anti-scientific symbols in an increasingly secular age, where fewer people believe in religion, and science says that isn't real, that doesn't support that. This can erode the belief. So it's like, well, the logical conclusion there is, I went to school with Farmer Jones. He claims to have seen Bigfoot, and Mary Jones down the road claims to have been abducted by an alien. Yet science says that that's not true. And if they got that wrong, maybe they got religion wrong as well. I do think there's a religious element to all of this as well.
Mm. Do you think there's sort of an inherent human desire to attach things to spirituality?
I think human beings are very fallible and very susceptible. You know, we're very imperfect at hearing, at seeing, and we're very susceptible to seeing things that aren't there, hearing things that aren't there, and believing experiences that people claim to have had when there's no supporting scientific evidence. I mean, you go back to 1938, October 30th, the famous War of the Worlds radio panic in the United States by Orson Welles, based on the novel by H.G. Wells, the science fiction writer. And when that happened at 8 o'clock at the studios of WABC in New York City, broadcast on 171 stations across the US and Canada, it was described that there were these Martians on these giant tripods, and they were firing heat rays and poison gas. Up to 2 million people believed this for a short period of time based on that radio play. Well, people actually called police during the broadcast, choking, coughing, saying that they could smell the poison gas. People said that they could actually feel the heat rays. And other people called police to say in the distance they could see the giant Martians on their machines. And so it's the power of, you know, human beings are very fallible and subject to error. Human beings do not take information in like a video cassette recorder. We interpret information as we take it in. Hence, if you go to a Warriors rugby match, you know, it's a knock on, it's not a knock on. The referees are trained observers. They practice all the time. They have excellent eyesight, yet they're always making mistakes. I've yet to see a rugby league match or a rugby union match where they didn't. And it's just part of the human condition.
Out of curiosity, I'm not sure if you ever heard of the John Titor hoax. Is that something you're familiar with?
No.
So I guess just the basic rundown of that. This was a guy who basically went on a message board in, I think, the year 2000 and claimed that he was a time traveler from the year 2036. And he made a bunch of vague predictions, none of which came true. There was something about them that spoke to people, and a lot of people believed him. And obviously, as his predictions started to fail, people sort of caught on that it might not be true. But so this is kind of a thing that is now widely understood to be a hoax, but it caught on to quite a surprising degree. And as you were mentioned before, I wonder if this is because rather than truly believing in something like this, people wanted it to be true.
There's a lot to that. And my message to that person, if they are from the year 2036 or whatever, two words, lottery numbers. Give me lottery numbers or a couple of exact sports scores, because that's all you need, right? And, you know, why would they, if you, you know, you're time traveling from the future, why would you go on a message board, right? All you'd have to do is go to a leader, make a couple of predictions, and then you would certainly get their attention, right? If, for example, I contacted somebody who was in the Labor Party and claimed that and said, you know, the Storm are going to beat the Roosters tonight by a score of, I don't know what it was, something like 42 or 46 to nil. And such and such is going to score three tries. And the first try is going to be at 2:36. That would get my attention, but no one has done that. And so I'm a sympathetic skeptic. You know, I need to see the dead alien in front of me. I need to see the body of the Bigfoot or the dead chupacabra.
Yeah, there's another similar but more recent story about a somebody who claimed to be an alien who had run out of fuel and was orbiting the Earth. I believe that they had an accomplice who basically they talked with for a bit, and then they basically told this person, go outside and point your camera at the sky. And then they sent a picture, which I imagine was photoshopped, of a series of lights in the shape of a UFO. There is a tendency to go to message boards, and I wonder if it's because these people are easier to fool or if they're more willing to believe.
That sounds about right. I mean, if you want to see a UFO, I mean, there are UFOs or objects in the sky people can't identify, technically a UFO, but it doesn't mean it's an extraterrestrial spaceship. And, you know, all one has to do to become part of one of the greatest mysteries in the history of the world, that we may have been visited by extraterrestrial beings, is to go out at night and look up into the sky in your backyard. And if you look long enough and hard enough, you'll see some kind of object in the sky you can't identify. And most UFO sightings are lights in the night. They're very vague and ambiguous.
Yes, yeah, so I do want to touch on what is probably history's greatest hoax. That might be controversial for me to say, but I'm talking about Bigfoot. I think Bigfoot's a good example because a lot of people have dedicated significant time to investigating it. Why is it that people become so determined to verify these sorts of hoaxes?
Well, I've written two books on Bigfoot with my brother, who is a Bigfoot researcher in the United States. And, you know, it's the same with UFO groups and the same with some ghost and paranormal investigation groups and lake monster groups. You often get these rivalries. It seems particularly intense with Bigfoot researchers because everyone wants to be the one to find Bigfoot. And they have like their little area that they research in, and they keep things hidden, and they don't want other groups to know about it. And, you know, it's part of the human condition, I guess, that they want to be the ones to get credit for finding Bigfoot and proving it and become world famous. It's an interesting phenomenon that's out there. There's a lot of rivalries among different Bigfoot groups, but the same with some UFO groups and lake monsters, particularly intense as well. It's a fascinating phenomenon, but I think it has to do with, you know, people want to be the ones. And look, if somebody wants to be an armchair researcher or even go out and investigate in their backyard and they're not a scientist, more power to you. But if you want people to take you seriously, well, we need more than blurred photos, and we need to verify it through scientific methodology, and you need to be open and transparent. But that's not what often happens here. And you need to be able to take criticism well. A lot of the Bigfoot researchers don't take constructive criticism well, and then they start attacking people for attacking them, but they're not attacking them. They're just offering them constructive criticism, just like you do for a publication that you're submitting to a journal or something. And the other thing they need is, if you're collecting information about sightings, you need to gather this up and publish it in a specific publication so then other people can read about this.
I wonder how many earth-shattering discoveries have been missed because people have been hiding information from each other that have put together could, you know, create something actually tangible.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure, but as of this point, look, you look at Bigfoot, right? It sounds interesting, and all these people claim to have seen it. Yet, with millions of hunters in the U.S. alone every year, and there's no body, fossils, bones, or DNA evidence that's conclusively shown that Bigfoot is real. People say, like my brother will say, there's Australopithecus. We think this is what it is, or a remnant of Australopithecus. But that was, you know, hundreds of thousands of years ago. And it's different than what, like, where are the fossils in the United States? Where are the bones in the United States? It's seen in 49 of the 50 states. It's not seen in Hawaii. Apparently, it's not a good swimmer. And so where are the fossils? There are no fossils. There should be fossils. And the same thing with fairies. People used to see fairies. And they would sometimes claim to be taken to fairyland, right? And they'd see little people in the woods and stuff like that. Human perception is very fallible. Now, if somebody says the fairy talked to you, well, you know, maybe it's a hallucination or something like that. But, you know, where is the evidence? And I've investigated The Conjuring. I've investigated the Amityville Horror. And people ask me, do you believe? And I say, I don't believe in any of it. And they say, well, why not? And I say, well, it's not a matter of belief. It's a matter of evidence and what you can prove. And the evidence ain't there.
In the face of all that contradictory information, why do you think that your brother still believes in Bigfoot?
Well, he's not like, he's pretty objective. He does a pretty good job. He doesn't drive around with a car with a Bigfoot on the side or anything like that. Because of the consistency of eyewitness testimony in upstate New York and Vermont, where we're from, and around the country and around the world. And look, I get it. I understand that. But because of the media, that also plays into that, watching movies and TV shows and stuff like that. And if you go way back in time, in the 1700s, 1800s, and people come over to the United States and over to New Zealand and over to Australia, they believed in wild men of the woods in Europe. And that's what they brought over with them, that these people became feral over time. And if they're in, like, hermits who became feral, right? And then they turn more animalistic. You know, we know that's not true. It doesn't happen with human beings, but that was the early belief. And then it's morphed from this very human-like creature to a monster, you know, a 7-foot-tall, 8-foot-tall creature. And that has to do with books, magazines, newspaper articles, and particularly movies, changing the motif over time.
I just wanted to ask, are there any other interesting hoaxes that you've come across that you would want to share?
Well, hoaxes, you got the radio hoax with Orson Welles in 1938, people actually believing that Martians were invading. You had approximately 1949 in New Zealand, the WASP hoax. And there's a guy named Phil Schoen on, I think it was 1ZB, and he reported that there was a giant swarm of wasps heading toward Auckland, and that if you do go out to work, that you should shove your pants inside your socks, and you should wear, you know, something for protection as well. And that was a hoax. He got into some trouble for it, and it was on the 1st of April, right. I believe it was 1949. Yeah, the famous BBC spaghetti hoax. You know, people were growing spaghetti. That's another famous one if you look it up.
Yeah, I actually remember hearing
about
it.
Spaghetti farm. Yeah, there's a lot of them out there, and look, there's a lot of them that that people actually believe. You know, like Maria Rubio in Port Arthur, New Mexico in 1977 was cooking a tortilla on a skillet and burned it. And right. Thought she saw the face of Jesus. Thousands of people came to her home over the years. But no one knows what the face of Jesus looks like, for starters, right? There's this popular image, but, you know. Again, my main thing is, give me lottery numbers, right? Yeah. Give me sports scores.
Verifiable and, proof.
Yes.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
That was Stranger Than Fact on 95 BFM.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.